の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩つまずくこと。This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that has turned our hopefulies into a reality. Isn't that right, JD?
Hey. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there's no hoping anymore. They're actually doing it. It's been a great time to be a Tigers fan lately.
Let's keep hoping. Anyways, hey, I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is May the 8th, and this is episode 97. And not only have we got JD with us, but we've also got Sanjay. All the way out in Hawaii. How you doing, buddy?
Aloha, brother T-Ray and brother JD. Doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
I'm pretty good. JD, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I've got a little bit of the post-Golden Week hangover. It's been pretty hard to drag myself back into the daily grind, but, you know, that's just the way it is all around Japan right now, so...
Yeah, for real. Tell me about it. I'm a school teacher, so I know. And we're starting to get into Gogatsu Byo season, right? Gogatsu Byo is May disease. In other words, like post Golden Week. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to try anymore. And the freshness of the new year is not fresh anymore. Hopefully, we won't be saying the same. There's that word again, hopefully. We won't be saying the same thing about the Hanshin Tigers. And certainly, in the last couple of weeks, we got a lot of good news for you folks. So stick around, because we're going to talk principally about why this Tigers team has turned their season around and how permanent the turnaround is going to be. Come back in a bit.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
So before we jump into recaps, gents, we are going to look at some of the news and rumors. So first of all, we're looking at player health. And literally, we're talking about physical health, not body ailments in a baseball, from a baseball point of view. Yuta Iwasada, Suguru Iwazaki, two of our left-handed pitchers, plus Coach Tsutsui, went down with influenza last weekend, and they have been deactivated. And so, you know, we all know that sickness hits people and baseball players are mortal, and so they're down on the farm or in the hospital beds or whatever, trying to get some R&R and get back to the baseball season.
Yeah, well, get your Theraflu or your chicken soup or the ginger-infused rice porridge or whatever you use over here. They're going to need it. But the good thing was Haruto Takahashi stepped in to make a spot start for Iwasada and actually pitched pretty well. So it wasn't a complete loss.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've got quite a few guys on the farm, and we will talk about this, of course, later in the show as well. But yeah, guys ready to step up or wanting to step up. And so it was Haruto on Sunday of last week. In other health news, let's go for some good news now. Fumihito Haraguchi, who had colorectal cancer removed from his body earlier in the spring, he actually started working out with the farm squad. So not only is he doing personal workouts, he is actually on the field, you know, taking grounders and doing batting practice with the rest of the boys.
Yeah, Nikkan reported this morning that he's doing the full regimen of practice. So that's great to hear. He's participating in all the activities. So hopefully we'll see him back up on the top squad really soon, I hope.
Guys, I want to be at Koshien the day that he comes back. I can promise you, when people sing that cheer song, there are going to be tears in people's eyes, man.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing this morning, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a special moment for sure. Also, with pitcher health, Taiki Ono, who was actually quite the mainstay in the rotation last season, finally has gotten some action on the farm. I think he had an elbow issue, if I'm not mistaken, but he did a bit of pitching. I think just one inning or two innings, or do you remember, JD?
Yeah, he faced four batters, one inning pitched, one walk. So, I mean, it's really small sample size. It's still anyone's guess as to how it's going to proceed moving forward, but he's throwing in games, so that's a good sign, and hopefully it continues, and he continues to make his rehab and get better.
So we've got these guys like Ono and Iwasada and Iwazaki, and then even guys that we're going to talk about in a bit. All these pitchers that are, you know, just waiting for their chance on the top squad, and yet at the same time, the guys that are up top are not ready to step down, right? So it's a good problem to have, I would say. Speaking of pitchers that are ready to, or trying to get ready to get back up to the top, Onelky Garcia has had a couple of starts on the farm. The most recent one was yesterday when he pitched six innings and allowed three hits, two runs, and struck out six. Not a bad outing. Do you remember, JD, how he did the previous one on the farm?
Yeah, so in the previous two games, he went 11-plus innings, and he gave up only one run between all of those innings. So he hadn't, up until yesterday, had an ERA of 0.82. So good results so far. Looks like he took a bit of a step back yesterday. But it's hard to say, you know, when he's going to be back up on the top squad again. Again, you know, like for the reason that you just mentioned, we've got guys up there who are handling things quite well. So kind of anyone's guess at this point.
So he kind of flipped his numbers, eh? Like he has 11-plus innings and one run on the farm. On the top squad, it was like 1-plus innings and 11 runs. And so, ouch. I like this one better. final word on some pitching, and that would be Fujinami, who I believe last episode we had said that he was scheduled to throw an inning of relief work on the farm. It didn't happen. And he hasn't thrown in any games since, and there are no injuries being reported that I know of. And so this is cause for grave concern, guys.
The radio silence is never a good sign. The media usually, they're kind of like, if there's nothing good to say, then don't say anything at all. So, yeah, I am a little bit worried about it that we haven't heard anything.
Well, and especially when it comes to Fujinami, because they do report everything that he does.
Everything.
Yeah. I had a bad vision of the 2019 season coming to an end and us not seeing Fujinami on the top squad once. And how bad is that going to look for the Tigers as far as NPB goes, as far as casual fans go, as far as fans of other teams that are saying, what's wrong with these Tigers not using Fujinami? Like, how come they can't fix him? You know, we're even talking about youth that are going to be, you know, paying attention to the Tigers and saying a guy like Fujinami, who was a top class high school athlete and, an elite talent, not being used for a whole season, even though he was not injured. What's wrong with this team? I don't want to be drafted by them. Like, I mean, this could be epidemic.
Yeah, that's definitely not a good look.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, though, I mean, you could look at it the other way, is that you might have a bit of a scapegoat in Kanemoto, right? Because he was sort of the guy at the helm when Fujinami started to run into all his problems. So, you know, I suppose that you could look at it that way, that as long as Kanemoto's not there, then there might not be the same sort of fear that would happen again. But yeah, I agree with you, man. It does not look good. But I have a feeling he'll be back up at some point. I mean, I don't have anything to base that on, but I mean, just based on his youth and all that, I think we're probably going to see him at some point this season.
So he's still 25 years old, and, you know, there's obviously a future for him doing something with someone. I mean, he's not done with baseball for the rest of his life. He's too good. I would say, why not let him play the rest of the season in the bullpen and just bring him out for one inning at a time, or bring him up in mop-up duty or whatever. Like, just say, hey, look, get into action, get a feel for your pitches, get a feel for top squad games, glean some wisdom from some of those veterans in the bullpen, from Fujikawa, from Naomi. And, you know, that might help get him together and get him back into the starting rotation in 2020. Because the rotation, truth be told, it's not lacking without him right now. And that's a sad place to be, to say, yeah, we don't need Fujinami in the rotation, but we do need him moving forward.
Yeah, well, I think some of our guys in the rotation are overperforming, I think, too, at this point. I don't think they're going to maintain the sort of streak that they're on, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but I think there is going to be a place for Fujinami at some point along the way, so it's just going to be a matter of whether he's ready for it or not.
You guys don't think that his allegedly frail psyche might be hurt by being demoted to mop-up duty or something like that?
That's a good question, but if his psyche is ruined by that, then it's certainly ruined by him not even pitching on the second squad. So.
I suppose, good point.
I mean, I think that his psyche is probably more affected by the coaches, the manager, and stuff like that, probably his teammates as well, as opposed to sort of what he's doing, maybe. So, I don't know. I'm curious to see how Yano is going to handle him, which is why I'd like to see him, you know, up on the top squad sooner than later, because I think that, you know, how his story sort of pans out is really going to depend on the higher ups and how they sort of proceed with him moving forward.
Well, I like the fact that we do have a former catcher as a manager, and Yano is, you know, very well known as being, you know, when he was a catcher, at really knowing his pitcher's psyche and knowing the difference between pitcher A and pitcher B and pitcher C and treating them all differently to bring out their strengths. And hopefully he can do the same with Fujinami as manager. But you were a fan of Yano back in the day, right, Sanjay? Like, I mean,
oh, absolutely. I thought he had to be MVP. So yeah, I have all kinds of faith in him. I loved him back when he was playing, and I like what he's doing as a manager. And yeah, I would love to see what he can do with Fujinami up on the top squad.
Yeah, so Yano-san, if you're listening to us, you know, we know best. So. All right, one last bit of news, and this will also come up during the recaps, but we did a Gaijin hitter swap during this past 2 weeks. So Efren Navarro got sent down to the farm because Jeffrey Marte was apparently, supposedly, ready for top squad action. So I don't know what your guys' take is on that, but Navi hit a home run down on the farm yesterday, so I guess that's good.
Well, you didn't sound too convinced there when you were talking about Marte here. Apparently ready for the top squad and stuff, so...
Well, I'm saying that simply because he only got, like, 3 farm games before they said, you're ready, and I thought that was a bit hasty.
Well, I mean, because even considering that, though, I mean, he's not doing too bad. He's hitting in every game. His batting average isn't quite where we'd want it to be, I suppose, and the power isn't quite there yet. But, you know, I'm not ready to go throw myself off any bridges yet because of it. I think it's going to take some time for him to settle in. And
sure.
I don't know, you know, it's you just got to sort of wait and see. It's not the kind of thing that's going to pan out in a week or 2 weeks, you know. Got to play the long game, I think.
Yeah, tell the media that.
Right.
Sanjay, what are your thoughts on the Gaijin swap?
I think that we really have to see what we got in Marte, so I'm all for bringing him up and giving him a shot. And as you so eloquently wrote in your daily sports piece, you know, us fans and the media should be giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I part of the inspiration for the article was something that I gleaned from Matt Merton a couple of years ago, where he said, you know, like, you got to put your best players on the field because they are the best players, and ultimately they will perform to that level. You just have to give them the time, because not everyone is going to be hot all the time, and anybody can be hot for a 2-week stretch, but you can't predict who's going to be hot when, so you have to go with your best. And I think that Marte is our best first base option right now, for sure.
Sounds also like Merton might make a good manager.
Yeah, you don't say. I'd love to see it as well. All right, well, as we mentioned at the top of the show, this has been a pretty good fortnight for the Hanshin Tigers. Let's look back on the past 2 weeks. Let's recap. So, when we left off last time, we were in Yokohama and we had just won our first game of that series against the Bay Stars. We came in with a couple more wins. We swept them in Yokohama. Of course, that should be our home park by now, honestly. I mean, we're winning. Our winning percentage there is ridiculous. And our winning percentage at Koshien at this point in the season, also ridiculous in a bad way. Anyways, we won 3-1 and 5-3 in Yokohama. The big story in this one, of course, JD, was how the third game of that series ended, eh?
Man, I mean, it doesn't get much more like storybook than that. I mean, we're down to our final out with runners, I believe, first and second or second. There are two guys on base anyway.
Yep.
Still down one run. And in comes Chikamoto with the opposite field home run to put us ahead for good. I mean, what else? What can you say about Chikamoto? The guy has just been amazing. I'm going to talk about him again a little bit later, too. But yeah, just a fantastic way to close out the series. And actually, at the same time, though, man, I have to admit, I felt bad for DeNA. It was just like, really? Like they just can't seem to wrap their heads around winning against us at all this year.
Yeah, so that that 3-run home run, I believe, put Chikamoto at 4 on the season. Am I right?
Yes, you are right.
Yeah, so this is a guy. I mean, we even said, okay, he might hit like 3 home runs this year. He's already got 4. And he even said, you know how players in Japan tend to have really lofty goals at the start of the year? Like Yamato, I remember he said he wanted to do a 3-3. His 3-3 being bat 300, steal 30 bases, and hit 3 home runs. Which is also hilarious in and of itself, because he's never had more than 1 in a season, if I'm not mistaken, and never come close to 30 stolen bases. Anyhow, Chikamoto himself said, my goal is to hit 5 home runs this year. We'll leave it at that. Well, he's 80% of the way there. So pretty good stuff out of him. So anyways, that was the series. As we said, they won the first one 8-3. That was in the last episode. And then 3-1 with Saiki getting the win in the middle game and Yokawa hitting his first home run of the year. And then Johnson getting his first career win in that thanks to Chikamoto. In the sweeper right there. So we go into Nagoya to play 3 in a building we are notoriously bad in. And actually, Nishi kind of caught a bit of tiger fever there, and he had a not so great outing against the Dragons. We lost that one 4-5. He was actually the losing pitcher on record, so he allowed all 5 runs in that one. So not a very impressive outing for him. But it was his first bad outing of the year, and you know, his next outing, as we'll see soon, was quite good. So yeah, we'll allow him to have the occasional not great outing. But it was Vicieru that did us in, as he has done pretty much since he came to NPB. He just seems to eat up Tigers pitching. But fortunately, we pulled the next 2 out of our hats.
Yeah, I was actually at the middle game of that one. A friend of mine was visiting from Thailand. He's actually a big American guy who's a big Detroit Tigers fan. And he was like, I want to see as much baseball as I possibly can while I'm here. So we jumped on the internet, and we're only able to find a pair of nosebleed seats, but I went for my first game at Nagoya Dome, so that was a nice one to see. No real big spectacular offense. I mean, the game winner was a 2-run double by Itoi that was just this weird sort of dribbler down first base that kicked off the first base bag and got to home 2 runs. But hey, they take the win, and I'll take it. It was great to see the Tigers. It was actually my first game as a visitor too, so that was a lot of fun.
Sanjay, have you ever been to Nagoya Dome or any of the other road stadiums?
I've never been to Nagoya Dome, but obviously because I lived in Tokyo for so many years, I've been to Jingu Stadium and the Tokyo Dome many, many times.
Okay, cool. So you know what the kind of the road atmosphere is like for Tigers games, but it's actually a pretty good one for those of you out there who have never been to Japan or to a road Tigers game. Tigers travel well, the fans travel well, so yeah. So Aoyagi, anyways, picks up his second win of the season in the sweeper here. Oyama with the early home run to give us the lead, and Aoyagi complete game shutout, the first of his career. I think it was 139 pitches, something like that. But we get her done. We win 2 out of 3 in Nagoya, and we come back to celebrate Golden Week, to celebrate the end of Heisei and the start of Reiwa at Koshien for 6 straight. And at the start of the year, when I looked at the schedule, I was like, oh great, we're ending Heisei against the Carp and starting Reiwa against the Carp. Loss coming for us to end and start these eras. Wrong-o, win-win.
So
yeah, an 8-3 win to end off the Heisei, and that was with Akiyama on the mound. And then a 6-2 victory with Saiki on the mound to start off Reiwa. And then we dropped the final one of that series 4-0. A bit of a heartbreaker because it was 0-0 heading into the ninth. But yeah, Dolis kind of dropped the ball, but actually our guys, more so our hitters, dropped the ball throughout the whole game, just as far as not putting anything up on the board to support the starting pitcher. Who was the pitcher in that one? That was
Iwata,
right. The guy that almost never does get run support.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, he's looking great too so far. I mean, set aside the lack of run support, you know, I never expected that Iwata would be one of the guys who comes up and starts performing as well as he has. But, you know, so, I mean, you got to look at that series and be like, well, even though we lost that last game, there's still something good to take from it, I think. So,
yeah, for sure. Any other thoughts on this series, Sanjay or JD?
Yeah, I was thinking that Iwata is turning into the old Shimoyanagi, you know, sort of the crafty lefty. You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of gas or anything, but he knows how to pitch and keeps the breaking balls low and, you know, throwing a lot of ground balls.
Good comparison. And I wonder how long Iwata's career is going to be. But certainly it's kind of revived itself this year because he didn't get any wins in 2018. And I don't know if he got any. He might have gotten one in 2017. But yeah, nice for him to come back, age 35. But I think he's still got some in the tank. And like you said, he's not a power pitcher. So if he uses craftiness, he can, he can stick around for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be at the game, the first game of Reiwa as well, so I got to see the first Reiwa hit by the Tigers, which was Chikamoto, the first home run by Marte, which was also great to see. I gotta say, that game was partially lost by the Carp. Kikuchi Ryosuke had a couple of really bad errors that I think led to a lot of runs on our part, but still, it was a good game to be at for sure.
Well, him and Tanaka have both been booting balls at historic rates this year. And a historic rate for Kikuchi is not that bad, but Tanaka has had a terrible year. Just a side note, he's about 66 games from breaking Toritani's record for consecutive full innings games by a shortstop. Yeah, he's 66 games from that, but he's terrible though. He's batting like 170, and he's got quite a few errors, and he's got no power in his bat this year. I don't know why the manager is believing in him so much at this point. It's almost like, remember when Toritani was at the end of that streak, and we were just like, come on, Kanemoto. It's the same thing, except come on, Ogata. But anyways, that's another story for another podcast or of another team. A couple things I wanted to talk about. I think it was the first game of this series that Chikamoto, he stole second base and third base in the same at-bat.
That was the one that we were at.
That was the one you were at? Okay.
Consecutive pitches,
I mean, I have not seen that happen in ages with the Tigers, and so that was just really exciting. And he stole another one in that game as well, so three on the day. He also had some solid defense. He also got the hit, as he said, the first hit of Reiwa. So pretty cool stuff from Chikamoto, and that's a good way to start May and a good way to start Reiwa for him. But just another quick one on that first home run of Reiwa. I've got a nickname for the Jeffrey Marte home runs, and nobody can take this from me. I'm trademarking it. Marte McFly. So call it, see it on Twitter. It's the Marte McFly special. There you go.
Well, hopefully those are home runs and not just fly outs. So,
well, I'm not going to use it when he just pops up for sure. So anyways, taking two of three from the Carp. And as we said, finishing Heisei with a win and starting Reiwa with a win against the defending champs feels pretty good. But things are going to get even better as we take on the Bay Stars for three straight at Koshien over the weekend, the Golden Week weekend. And a couple of walk-off wins. We walked off the first one on Friday 2-1 on an Oyama double to the wall, pretty close to being a home run. And then we won comfortably on Saturday with a 5-1 win, Randy making his return to the mound and looking quite good in that one. And then a 7-5 walk-off win on Sunday on Children's Day. I was at that one with my children, and it was an outstanding game to be at, except for the fact that it was 4 hours long and it was only 9 innings. And my 2-year-old son by the bottom of the first inning was like, I want to go home. I want to go home. And I understood, because let me just rant a little bit. The second inning was a really tough inning to watch, with Kinami committing 2 errors in the same inning, plus fielder's choice, which was a bad choice, which doesn't go on record as an error, threw home when he had no business throwing home. And then also Oyama committed an error in that inning as well. So it was 3 errors plus a fielder's choice. Somehow Haruto Takahashi only gave up 1 run in that inning, but I think he threw like 34 pitches. And I remember reading somewhere that if everything had gone well with the fielders, he actually recorded 7 outs that inning.
Wow.
So yeah, I can understand like my 2-year-old saying, I want to go home, because I was the same way. I was like, I want to go home too. If we're going to play like this, I don't want to watch this.
Well, Takahashi just wanted to get back to the dugout too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, but give him props for being calm through the whole thing, settling in and just doing what he needed to do to make up for it. He didn't really look like he was flustered out there or anything. He was just like, okay, I guess this is just what happens sometimes. And, you know, I'm just amazed that he got through it with giving up that little, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and the cool thing is Kinami actually came back and recorded a couple of hits, or maybe 1 hit, a little bit late in the game. And so props to him for that, for remaining level-headed despite his boneheadedness. And also props to Yano for keeping him in after that and not saying, you commit that many errors, you're done. You know, he was like,
I thought he was out for sure. No, he actually tied it up, actually. He got the first RBI for the Tigers. So he sort of contributed, you know, to make up for the miscues that he had in that inning, so.
Okay, yeah, he tied it up at 2, and then the Bay Stars ended up making it 5-2. And then, yeah, we crawled our way back into it, and then just to finish this off, 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th, and Fukudome absolutely crushed a 2-0 pitch. And as the announcers screamed out, you know, they were saying, you know, this hamakaze, you know, this wind from the outfield has got nothing on Fukudome. And he put in the right field stands, an absolute jubilation in the crowd. It was so cool. One more side note about this series, and then I want to hear you guys' thoughts. I thought it was really cool that after each game, because it was Children's Day on the Sunday and it's Golden Week, they had kids do the hero interviews, or at least part of them. And I thought that was a neat touch. That was really cool. So any thoughts on this series, guys?
I got nothing else to add to it. I really feel bad for DeNA at this point. I mean, talk about a demoralizing series. I mean, not only do you get swept, but you lose, you know, 2 walk-off losses for them. They're just completely, we're owning them. And I hope it continues, because we need to beat up on someone this season, that's for sure.
Yeah, because we're still getting beat up on by the Giants anyways. Sanjay, any thoughts about these games?
Yeah, well,
I had a big smile on my face the whole weekend long. But besides that, to your point about the kids doing the interviews at the end of the games,
yeah.
Also they had the scoreboard all in hiragana for all the players' names. And they featured every player and what they wanted to be when they grew up, if it wasn't a baseball player. Mm-hmm. And it was all sort of really cool the way they made it a family-friendly affair. And I found it very touching at the very end when Fukudome was doing his hero interviews on the stands at the end of the game. And he knew how to deal with kids. So like he was like, you know, holding the paper when the wind was blowing the questions around and kneeling down to kid eye level and talking to them. And really it was it put a smile on my face even after the game.
So do you guys know what Hojo wanted to be when he grew up if he wasn't a baseball player?
I didn't see it.
A baseball player. That's what he said. So obviously he had a very one-track mind. No, a lot of these guys wanted to be pro athletes of some sort. There was a lot of basketball player up there, particularly from like Messenger and Dolis. But some of them were a bit surprising. Like some of them were school teacher or architect, which is kind of cool. Anyhow, great series for our guys, and you know that brings us to 5-1 at Koshien during this stretch, which is nice because we were terrible at Koshien up until this point. I think we were 2-7 on the year up to this point at Koshien. So that brings us pretty close to respectability at home. And so now for the last two games of this recap, we go to Jingu in Tokyo to face the Swallows. Swallows who are in second place, and that's where they finished last year. They also beat us in 10 straight to end out 2018. But heading into this series, we were 3 wins, 2 losses, and a tie against them. So quite respectable. And we dropped the first one 4-2. But last night, we took a 3-1 victory out of them. So we've tied the 3-game series, and we're up now 4 wins, 3 losses, and a tie on the season so far against them. Any thoughts on those two games, guys?
Nothing really. I mean, I didn't watch the first one. And last night, I got cut off. The broadcast cut off. You got to love Japanese TV sometimes. Cut off with the bases loaded and Oyama up to bat, which was a good thing because he ended up hitting into a double play. But yes. But yeah, it drives me nuts sometimes. But I'll take it. You know, I finished it off on the internet and really glad to see it. And hopefully we can take the rubber match tonight.
We kind of scraped together those runs with the lone RBI hit being a Kinami single. We got the first run on an Umeno ground out, and then the third one came on an error. But we won 3-1 thanks to Akiyama and a bullpen that has been outstanding. I think they said that in the last 5 games, we have yet to allow a run from the bullpen, and that's like 15 innings or something like that of work. So pretty solid stuff.
Yeah, and I think that they pointed out that PJ Johnson has had 16 consecutive games without giving up a run from the start of the season, which is 4 games shy of Toyama's record of 20 games. So
sweet.
I think he's got almost it. I think he's got it.
As he said in his hero interview, don't jinx me.
Exactly. Obviously, yeah, I don't want to jinx him or anything, but he just looks so solid out there. He's just fearless. And he's the kind of guy you just know is going to go out and get it done. So yeah, hopefully he keeps going. Uh-oh, I said it, hopefully.
So the other game, the loss, just to really talk about why that happened. Aoyagi was on the mound and he really set the tone early. The first guy that he faced tried to do a push bunt to get on base. He actually pushed it right to Aoyagi, who fielded it cleanly and then threw it into right field. So the guy got all the way to third base, and that was with no outs. And then I think the next couple of guys got hits or got on base. So it just started poorly, and it just never really picked up from there. I think we got a couple of runs. One was on a sac fly, and the other was, it might have been an RBI by Umeno. I forget exactly. But we had a chance at more runs. We didn't get as much as we coulda, shoulda. But anyways, that is only our second loss in May. We are 5-2 on the month, which makes it a pretty darn good month. And even, you know, April ended quite strong. JD, I think the last time we talked, the team was 6 games below 500, and we are now 2 games above 500.
And we were talking about, too, what we expected them to do on this 12-game series.
12-12, yep.
Yeah, and so far, I mean, before tonight, we are 8-3. So we're either going to finish this 8-4, 9-3, or 8-3-1 tie, assuming we tie tonight, which I don't know about you, but that is way, way above what I expected. I think I called it, I said we'd be lucky if we got 500. So
yep.
I'm happy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, same here. So very impressive string. And the nice thing is from here, and we'll talk about this a bit later, but we play three, get a day off, play two, get a day off, play three, get a day off. So, you know, in an 8-game stretch, we're getting 3 days of rest, whereas up until now, we've played 12 games with no rest. And so, yeah, the rest will definitely do our guys some good. And so right now, we are 18-16-1, if I'm not mistaken, 2 games above 500. And it's kind of a hard place to introduce this new segment of the show, but you asked for it, you got it. We went from What a Disaster to Wacky Tomowacky, and now this.
Wait, what did we just do? Was that on purpose? Pull the whole outfit? Yeah, I know. Who's that? I've never heard of him before.
So I don't know what to call this segment, guys. The theme jingle, thanks Jimbo, by the way, doesn't really have a set title in it. Do you guys have anything that you want to call this segment?
I don't know. You know, I haven't seen anything that makes me really want to criticize Yano that much yet. So I don't want to be like, I don't know, anything too negative. But I don't know. What are you thinking?
Well, we'll just leave it at calling it Yano right now. And then later we can maybe, you know, develop it from there. But I kind of want to make a promise to the listeners that I am not going to make my Yano of the Fortnite any bunting situation, because we've talked about bunt so much on this show and Yano does bunt a lot. But I'm just going to have to accept that that's the way it is and find other things that I would like to see changed. So for mine, I'm actually going to go back to the Koyo Aoyagi complete game shutout, which congratulations to him. But as I said, I think he threw 138 pitches, which I think is a bit excessive. And we were up 2-0 in that game in the top of the ninth. So Yagi has already gone 8 innings of shutout ball, and I think he's already thrown over 120 pitches. We've got the bases loaded with one out, and he's due up at the plate. Am I right about that? Something like that. Anyways, so we have the option of saying, call it a night, Yagi. We're bringing in a pinch hitter to pad this lead because we want to take this game. We want to win this series, and we just want to win games that we can win, and we don't want to take the chance. You know, I understand wanting to give a pitcher confidence that, you know, you shut down the opponent from start to finish. But I also feel like, one, wear and tear on the arm. Two, you want to play to win, absolutely win, and put the team ahead of the individual. And so it's a light criticism of Yano because it did give Aoyagi confidence, and it is something special. But I really think they should have pulled him there. They should have put in pinch hitter, gotten a couple more runs, shut down the game, shut down the series, and come back to Koshien feeling good. And we came back to Koshien feeling good anyways, but that is just, you know, happenstance that it worked out, because it could have flopped. I mean, if Aoyagi had flopped there and if we'd lost the game, that would have looked really bad. So that's it. That's my nitpick.
Okay, yeah. Like I said, I haven't really seen too much that has jumped out at me as being like, wait a minute, what? Like, what is this guy doing? I know you made the promise not to talk about bunts, so I'll avoid talking about it too. I guess the only thing that bugs me sometimes is bringing in a pinch hitter to just a bunt. You know, I get the reasoning behind it, but it's kind of a buzzkill, I think, in some ways, especially with some of these guys. You just feel like you want to see them swinging. So, but again, you know, we'll just set that aside, and I'll wait, you know, until I see something really crazy before I start criticizing the guy. But so far, I have to say, I mean, I like what I'm seeing. Like, there's nothing that, like I said, that's really made me question his decisions or judgment.
Case in point, the pinch bunter thing. We brought in Hojo to pinch bunt the other day, and I forget the exact scenario. We had runners on first and second, and he advanced them to second and third on a bunt. And I remember the next day in the media, there was all this buzz. Actually, he got high-fived by everybody on the bench, and he fist-pumped after his bunt. The crowd went nuts. The media covered it the next day, saying, like, this was a very crucial bunt, and Hojo really did his job well. And I thought, like, that's Japanese baseball in a nutshell. We sent in a pinch bunter, and he made headlines for laying down a bunt.
Yeah.
Anyways, Sanjay, have you got anything that you saw in Yano that you didn't really like? I know you're a Yano fan, so this might be hard.
I'm a Yano fan, so I'm going to say that I see nothing at all wrong with what he's doing. But also, I find it interesting your point that you made about leaving Aoyagi in too long, because there was a game, a couple weeks ago or so, where the exact opposite criticism was made. and I think it might even have been Aoyagi, if I'm not mistaken. But the question was whether to leave him in or to pull him. And the criticism that was made by Tao on the Daily News or the Sankei Sports, actually, who said, when you're in the lead, when you have the lead, you don't pull your starting pitcher before the other team does, because you want to keep doing what they don't want you to do. And clearly, our pitcher had handled them, and we were up 2-0 or 3-0 or something like that, and we pulled our starting pitcher first because it had been the number of innings, number of pitches, and lo and behold, you know, they hit our relievers. And so I'm okay with the decision Yano made this time around with Aoyagi.
That's it. You're off the show. No, fair enough. Okay. But that's interesting too. And just on the note of Aoyagi, I mean, like, I don't understand how any other team would enjoy facing him, because he is so hard to predict. I mean, are you going to get control Aoyagi or wild Aoyagi? Are you going to get hit by the pitch, or is it going to break behind you, or is it going to break a foot in the other direction? He's just got so much, man. And I don't know. I like him. And that's going to lead right into the next segment. We're going for another new jingle, everybody. It's the Player of the Month. What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall and hit it over the wall. You are the Player of the Month. The man, the myth, the tiger. Your Player of the Month. And just to continue on that note, my pitcher of the month, before we even go anywhere else, is Aoyagi, in fact. And the reason is because he's one of these guys that has done something that we didn't expect out of him. I mean, our rotation at the start of the year, if you go back and listen to any podcast or if you read any articles predicting the Tigers season and the Tigers pitching rotation, there's like no mention of Aoyagi. And the fact that he has come in and done what he's done, I mean, that merits it for me, you know. We look at his April record. His wins loss is not outstanding. Of course, it's 2 wins, 2 losses. But his ERA of 1.89, allowing just 26 hits while striking out 24 and walking only 9 and hitting only one guy.
Yeah. Control is a lot better. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So he's my pitcher of the month. JD, who you got?
You know, just to mix it up a little bit, I agree with you. Definitely, he's right up there. I'm going to give it to Pierce Johnson, though. I just think he's the guy who comes in and makes sure that you keep the lead. He just locks it down. If the game's on the line, that's who you go to. He hasn't let the team down yet, and he shows no sign of doing so in the future at all. So I'm going to go with Pierce Johnson. Having him in the bullpen is just a huge, huge sort of X factor that we have, I think. So, yeah, I'm going to give it to PJ.
Yeah, and this is a guy that before the season started, you were like, man, I don't know. I'm not putting much expectation on him, but we'll just have to wait and see. Well, you've waited and you've seen.
Yeah, I'm eating crow. I mean, because his numbers, you know, back in the majors were not good at all, you know, but then he comes over here and he's really showing us that he's capable. So, yeah, I'll help myself to some crow, and but I'm glad to have it. So, yeah, keep going, PJ.
12 and one-third innings, just 5 hits against and 15 strikeouts. So, yeah. You can't really ask for anything more out of a reliever than that. Sanjay, have you got anybody, any other pitchers that you want to throw in the mix?
I'm not going to add anybody new to the mix. I'd be saying give half a vote each to the two you mentioned, because they are both deserving.
All right. Okay. Well, we will go with that then. And let's switch over. Let's switch gears to hitter. And I'm going to let JD go first on this one, since I went first on pitcher.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Chikamoto, man. I mean, he has just done it all. And I mean, as a rookie, no less, you know, he's a joy to watch. You know he's going to get on base. And we saw this, I believe it was last night or the night before, running down the line. He's got such good speed that he's forcing the opposing fielders to, you know, rush their throws. And so they end up tossing the ball away and stuff like that, or making inaccurate throws. So he gets on base that way, too. You know, he obviously had that game-winning home run versus DeNA, so he can hit. He's hitting for power at this point to an extent, you know, stealing bases left and right. Just some stats from him. He's second on the team for RBIs, which is one less than our number 4 batter, Oh, Toriyama. He's second in total bases. He's tied for second in home runs, which again, you know, we're a team that doesn't hit a lot of home runs anyway, so, you know, you temper your expectations a little bit with that. But still, you know, it's still pretty impressive, especially like you said, considering he said he was planning on only hitting like five. Got the most hits, the highest batting average. And also, if you look at the defensive side of things, I mean, considering we've got Fukunome and Itoi in left and right, having his speed in center really helps a lot because he can track down balls that might otherwise fall.
That the jogger might not reach, yep.
Yeah, right? Like, I can't think of anything to criticize about this guy. He's really just doing it all, and it's the kind of presence we haven't seen for a little while either, so I'm loving everything I'm seeing.
Yeah, you took all of my words out of my mouth for sure. good call on that. Sanjay, who have you got?
Make that a unanimous one then, because I've got Chikamoto as well.
Yeah. I mean, like, the only guy that comes close then, I would say, would be Umeno, who had an outstanding April. Like, his March, the three games in March, he was 2-for-9, but then he went 30-for-85 in April with a home run, 13 RBIs, hitting for the cycle with a broken toe, and just throwing out all base dealers, any and all base dealers. So I give props to him as well. I mean, his defense has been quite outstanding. And so, interestingly, one of Yano's goals for this year for the Tigers is to establish the center line. In other words, catcher, second base, shortstop, and center field. And the two guys that we've named make up the bookends of that, right? I mean, we've got our center fielder that looks like he's going to be good to go for not just this year, but for several years. And then we've also got a catcher that has firmly planted himself in that starting role. And that's something we haven't had since Jojima. So, and even that was just 1 year in 2010.
Sorry, I was going to give props to Umeno as well, but his hop bat has cooled off a little bit. He's just under 300 now, and he was flirting with 400 earlier. So
that's
where I kind of pulled off on him.
Yeah, he tapered off at the end of April, and then, yeah, in May, he's been pretty stone cold. I mean, 3-for-24 for a 125 batting average. But, yeah, just having that center line in place has really made a difference with the Hanshin Tigers, and so that's been really good to see. And so we're going to give this one, though, to Chikamoto pretty much unanimously because he's been outstanding, and he, as JD said, he's given us something that we have sorely needed and haven't had for several years now. So speaking of, you know, those two guys doing well and even the rest of the team, you know, as we talked about in the recaps, the hot topic is, why has this Tigers team turned things around so well of late?
Hanshin Tigers English League. Hanshin Tigers English League. Hanshin Tigers English League. Hanshin Tigers English League. Hot topics. Hot topics.
So as we mentioned earlier, I think they started the year 7-13-1. And we are now, what did I say, 17-15-1? So that means that we're 10-2 in our last 12 games. Why? What's going on with this team? How realistic is it that this will continue? Or, like, is this just an aberration? Are we going to go back to the old stinky Tigers? What are some of the factors you guys see in this team that gave us 10 wins against just two losses in the last 2 weeks?
Well, earlier on in the season, we weren't scoring a whole lot. I mean, we're still not the highest scoring team in the league. But at least now it seems that we are getting more than just the occasional and very occasional home run. We're actually hitting when in runners in scoring position type situations. We're taking advantage of errors that the other team makes. We're actually scoring, putting some runs on the board in support of the pitchers. And I think that's the difference between where we were at the start of the year and the current part of the year. One could even argue that we're just regressing to the mean. We were playing well below our capabilities earlier, and now we're a little bit maybe above, but I think we were due.
Sure. And run production, you know, I think just to tag on what you said a little bit there, Sanjay, we started so many games early in the year behind because our starting pitchers were giving up runs early and our hitters were getting nothing through the first five innings of so many games. Like, it took us until the sixth, seventh inning to get our first runs of so many of those games. And recently we've been attacking a little bit better earlier in games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talking about guys, you know, or regressing to the mean here. You know, look at how someone like Itohara started off the season. Look at how Kinami started off the season. Look at how Oyama started off the season. Low, low, low batting averages that are actually up significantly now. I mean, Kinami's still a little bit on the low side, but considering where he started off, I mean, he's batting around 233 now after going like 0 for 14 or something in the first games and actually getting demoted or benched. Itohara was terrible for a while too, and he's up to around 250, I think, now. Oyama's I can't remember what happened after the double play last night, but before the double play, I think he was at 269. Guys are coming around little by little, and everybody seems to be contributing to top to bottom in some situation where they need to. And when that sort of thing comes together, you know, you're going to have trouble not scoring runs in that situation too.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of a good trend in at least the last few games. So despite of that double play that Oyama hit into, he hit the walk-off double on Friday, right? Then he also got the game-tying RBI on Sunday at the game I was at to tie it up 5-5, and that was in the seventh inning. So up until then, man, like, I even asked, like, this real stat nerd on Twitter, what is Oyama's batting average in the last three innings of games this season? And this was about a week or two ago that I asked him this. And his batting average was atrocious, and you could see that he was not knocking in guys when the game mattered. And he did it twice in that series. And so that, I think, is a huge factor as well. Because, I mean, those are both walk-off wins. And without him, neither of them would have been. So having that number four hitter actually hit when it matters, you know, is huge. I'm partway to becoming an Oyama fan. I'm still not there yet. But the fact that he's hitting when it matters, it's given me hope that I can actually really genuinely like the guy.
Yeah. So. Well, and also, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things you don't see from the stats. Like even last night, he had a hit a screamer over toward left that was just barely caught. If Ballantyne had been playing over there, it probably wouldn't have been caught, is what the announcers were joking about. But again, that was one that could have easily gone as a hit in any other situation. And I believe there were runners on base too. So you know, it's just one of those things where you don't really see it from the actual stats, but I'm slowly becoming a bit of an Oyama fan myself as well. I think the power needs to come up a little bit, but he seems to be settling down a little bit and getting it done when it needs to get done, which he definitely didn't do last year, so I'm looking forward to more of that.
So run production is up, of course, and that's one reason that we have been able to turn things around. Anything else that you guys see? One of the things that I'm going to mention, and it's kind of related to the whole center line thing we talked about, let's throw away the Sunday game that was an absolute disaster. Our infield defense has actually been quite good, and I feel like we have decent range, and we've also got really good arms at some of these positions. Like Kinami is, you know, when he's not booting the ball or whatever, he's really fast. You know, between the time that he catches the ball and throws it, his catch and release time is really fast. Oyama, although he leads the team in errors, has also made some really outstanding plays at third base, and I really like him on the defensive end. So the left side of the infield takes care of itself, and even Itohara is really starting to you know, firmly plant himself at second base. He had an error last night, but he has been quite you know, just dependable at second base. And so the infield defense, you know, again, throwing away Sunday, has been quite dependable and has not hurt us, certainly where it maybe was hurting us earlier in the year.
Well, I'd piggyback off that by saying on the other side of this is the relief pitching that we've had too. Talk about, you know, preventing bad things from happening. The relievers we've had so far have really done their jobs really, really well. You look at some of the guys here. Obviously, we talked about Johnson, you know, who's made 16 appearances, you know, for a 0.00 ERA. Got Shimamoto, the guy that T-Ray and I have derided much in the past, but he's been great. 15 appearances for 3.0 ERA. Mordia, 13 appearances with a 1.26. Nomi and Fujikawa both 11 and 8 appearances respectively with the same 3.3 ERA. Iwazaki 0.96 with 8 appearances. It's a lot of guys who are really getting it done on the relief side of things. So that basically, you know, that if your team has the lead at that point, then they're going to keep it. And that's a huge, huge thing to have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The relief. But even the starters have come around. I mean, like I said in the player of the month with Aoyagi, he was a guy that wasn't expected to be in the rotation or, you know, maybe a spot starter at best, but he's kind of filled that role nicely. Iwata is another guy that everybody had kind of counted out, and he's in. You know, so you look at guys like, you know, Messenger struggled for a while. Garcia obviously struggled. Some of these guys we were expecting stuff from, you know, Ono being injured, Fujinami having disappeared. We've actually seen guys pull it together and keep the rotation strong despite, you know, a lot of unexpecteds here. So that's been nice as well. The other thing that I wanted to mention, Sanjay, I'm sure that you will approve of this. I think that Yano has really made a big difference just in his positivity. Like, this guy, he's like a cheerleader on the bench. He's like one of the guys. When they get a hit, he's pumping his fist and he's cheering. And some people might look down on that. And I think, Sanjay, maybe you and I were talked about this once before. I'm still all for it. And so the other day when Fukudome hit the walk-off home run, Yano was in the water celebration. He was out there on the field, which I think is cool. But just, you know, like Yano's ability to keep things positive, and even when guys screw up, like we said with Kinami and the couple of, you know, a couple of blunders in the same inning, he didn't get pulled. And I think Yano has a way of telling guys like, look, this is unacceptable and you know it, but I believe in you and let's figure out how to turn this around. And so that positivity and just being able to shake off the mistakes, I think we can attribute that to our manager. And I think that's a big factor.
I agree. And as you expected, I'm fully approve. And I think one of the things that I hadn't really considered it as such, but makes a difference, is that he's actually still quite young. He's not that far removed from his playing days, and he's still one of the guys. So he's very much a player's manager, you know, as opposed to somebody who's 20 years, 30 years older and sort of very dour and strict and back in my day we didn't do things this way. He's not like that at all, and I think it's all for the better for the team.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that last night with QG on the mound, and he struggled, but you know, Umino was making the calls, and I was like, weren't QG and Yano, they were a battery together, and they won like the most outstanding battery of the Central League, I think, in 2005. So I was thinking to myself, like, Yano's probably on the bench going, man, if I was in this situation, this is how I'd get QG out of it. And for him to have to sit there and watch another catcher do it might have been a little bit hard, but at the same time, I think it's Yano, and so I think he probably believes in Umino to get the job done, and somehow the job got done. But anyways, yeah, love Yano at manager right now.
And look at how infectious his attitude is too. Look at the, like, the bench, like, during the games, you know, a guy gets a hit, you know, he pumps his fist and everybody on the bench is doing it right back to them. They're like a cohesive unit. They're all having fun. They seem to really enjoy playing with each other. They really look like a team, and it's just so different from the feel that basically, you know, permeated the team last year and the year before. It's just, it was sort of dark and everything, and now everybody seems light and like they're having fun, and it's just really great to see, and it makes it so much more fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, there's nothing worse. I mean, this is a game, right? And it's guys playing a game, and fans are getting excited at home, and if the guys are not getting excited on the bench, and, you know, or if they are getting excited and people are going like, what's wrong with you guys? Like, be professional. It's like, no, be guys having fun playing a game. I love seeing guys celebrating their hits, you know, because they're not sticking it in the other pitcher's face or anything either. So I say go for it. One more factor, and this is maybe not such a happy one, is that during this stretch, we did not face the Giants once. And we don't face them again for another week. I think next Tuesday, Wednesday, we play them for a two-game set. But I think that's going to be a true test of this team's mettle. If we can take one of two at Tokyo Dome, preferably both, but if we can at least take one of them and get our first win against the Giants this year, that's going to help. Because if we can't, that's going to haunt us until the next time we face them again. We're still going to be saying, well, yeah, we're still above 500, but we can't beat the Giants. And I don't want those words to be spoken from anybody anymore.
I don't want to be negative too, but I do have to say, you know, Sanjay already mentioned this, I think, but we benefited from some sloppy defense from the opposing teams so far. And the other thing too is that not just the Giants, but the Carp have just been, they're a shadow of their former team, it seems like. They just have not been nearly as overpowering as they have in the past, especially with us. So I think we benefited from a sort of weakened Carp team as well. So yeah, it's really going to be a test to see if the Carp do pick it up, can we continue to perform against them, and if we can perform against the Giants coming up as well.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. What's
going to happen? So, the final question I want to throw at you guys is, what does this mean moving forward? Like, can you expect or hope like, what is the rest of May going to look like? Because we'll look at the schedule or look at the season in this chunk. Interleague starts, I think, in the first week of June or the first full week of June. So up until then, like, are we going to remain above 500? We're two games above now. Will we be above 500 heading into Interleague? Just give me a yes, no, and a reason right now. Sanjay, what do you think?
Yes, definite yes.
What have you got to back that, or what's your reasoning for that?
Well, I'm liking the way we've been playing the last few, the last 12 games. And, you know, with a win today, we catch Yakult and tie for second. So I'm thinking that we got a lot of good things happening for us. We can keep it up for the next 21 games.
All right. JD?
I'm going to say no.
Oh.
And I'm just saying that because I think we're going to end up right around 500. I think that we're going to continue to beat up on the teams that we beat up on so far, but I think that the Giants are still going to beat up on us. Although their relief pitching seems to be having a bit of a problem lately, I just still think their offense is gonna hammer us a little bit. And the Swallows seem relatively confident as well. So I'm going to say, you know, I don't want to get too hopeful. So I'm just going to say that we're going to end up right around 500 around there, which, again, I'm kind of okay with that because I expected a lot less from this team already. So
So we've got 5 against the Giants, 6 against the Carp, 4 against the Swallows, including tonight, and 3 each against the Bay Stars and Dragons before Interleague starts. So we will see how that shakes down. But until we see you all again, we are going to play game 12 of this 12 in 12 days. Then we've got 3 at Koshien against the Dragons, 2 in Tokyo against the Giants at the Dome. And then we've got 6 straight, well, it'll be 4 straight before we record again, but at Koshien, 3 against the Carp and 1 against the Swallows. So I don't know what the rotation is going to look like at that point, like if we're going to get Iwasada back, if we are going to bring Garcia back up, who's going to get sent down. I don't think Haruto is going to get a second start, at least not right away, but it'll depend, of course, on Iwasada's status, among other things. But what's your take? What do you think in the next 10 games before we meet again? What's the record going to be, everyone? JD, what do you think?
I'm going to say they go 6-4. I figure tonight we're going to take the game against the Swallows tonight. The opposing pitcher, Keiji Takahashi, I don't know much about him. From what I've seen, though, he hasn't been anything special at all, to say the least. I say we finish them off on the rubber game of the series tonight. Depending on who we put in, I figure against the Dragons, we'll probably have Nishi and Randy. And then beyond that, I don't know. But I figure we can take 2 out of those 3. Giants, I figure the 2-game series will probably... I don't know. I hope we can split it. So I'm going to just say we split. Uh-huh. I'm going to say we take 2 out of 3 against the Carp as well. I'm completely pulling this out of thin air, but then we'll we'll drop the first game of the Swallows series. Does that bring us to 10?
That's a 6-4, and that's 10 games. Yep, you got it.
Yeah, 6-4, yeah. So I figure if we do that, I'll be happy. It puts us above 500, and
puts us nicely above 500. We'll be 4 above. So Sanjay, what do you think?
I'm going to do even one better and say we're going 7-3.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Exactly how we'll get there. Maybe we'll take 2 from the Giants. We'll see.
That would be nice.
Yeah, just to clarify a bit of what's going on, the Dragons are kind of wounded these days, or at least as far as their performance goes. They've been pretty pathetic since the last time we saw them, and we took them 2 of 3 then. The Giants are going to be without Villanueva and Guerrero. They've both been farmed. For better or for worse, they are not in the lineup when we see them next. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of good signs, I guess, for us. And I'm going to stay with the positivity. I'm going to say that we go 6-4. And that, of course, is assuming that there will be no rainouts, which, have you noticed, there haven't been any yet this year. And that's unusual. Yeah. So I don't know. That might make for a light September as far as having few makeup games. Anyways, yeah, let's go Tigers. Let's stay above 500. And that'll be great. That'll bring us pretty close to Interleague then by the time we meet again. One announcement before we leave. I've announced this on the last 2 podcast episodes that I'm going to be hosting a Ponta Deck Bash on June the 21st as the Tigers host the Cebu Lions. And guess what? We're sold out, everybody. Some of you took advantage and some of you just missed the bus. But I've got 16 takers on tickets. And so we are going to be partying up on the third base Ponta Deck on June the 21st. If you're going to be at that game, hit me up and let me know, and we can't sneak you into our section, but at the very least, we can kind of hang out before, after the game, or whatever. And I might be doing another H10 game, kind of a group game type of thing, but I will keep you all posted. But hopefully we can take down the Lions, because we're going to have Christian from Graveyard Ball at that one, and he is a huge Lions fan. And we can't have one out of 16 celebrating at the end. We got to have 15 to 16. And actually, let's make a Tigers fan out of him. All right, everyone, thank you once again for your time and your passion for these Hanshin Tigers. If you like what you have heard and you want more H10 content, you can check us out on Patreon. The link is in the show notes. You get an extra podcast out of that. You can also find this podcast and extra news and articles and more at the website, www.thehanshintigers.com. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. You find us just by typing in the four words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review, share with your friends and enemies. If you are Japanese or if you read Japanese, you can also check out T-Ray on Daily Sports. Actually, I will be in the newspaper, not the online edition, but the newspaper, tomorrow. So check that out. Go buy your Daily Sports newspaper and find that T-Ray article. You can get all the news instantly in English, of course, on Facebook. Go find Hanshin Tigers English News there. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram, even though I'm seldom there, at the Hanshin Tiger. So until next time, everybody, keep cheering until the hopefully becomes a reality for an entire season, and we're jumping into Dotonbori at season's end. See you next time, everyone. Thanks for joining, JD. Thanks for joining, Sanjay.
Take care, guys.
Go Tigers.